Tancast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Sometimes the best laughs you get in life are the laughs you get when you're not supposed to be laughing. Laughing.
Watch you put a dab button.
Yep.
That would have been a sick burn. Just know it.
You just know that would be great.
If I hadn't fumbled all over it, I would have been a fucking sick bird. You'd be crying.
The best bird ever.
Noah be taking his shirt off, running around the room going, oh, snap.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Would not for my cursed tongue. All right, shall we get this party started?
Let's get this party
started. We got lots
started.
To do today. Lots to do.
How much do we have to do?
Lots.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, now you have an idea.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
Tancast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb. I'm a stand-up comedian. My job is to make people laugh. But you know who makes me laugh? My two old roommates, Andy and Noah. We used to live together in a tan house. So now we get together every week and do this Tancast. This week, the boys announce a contest, the show gets nerdy, there's a ton of baby talk, and they finally list off their high five favorite cameos. And when you hear this sound...
Oh, a sailboat.
That means there's a link to whatever we're talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
Tancast.
Welcome to Tancast!
Motherfuckers!
I'm Tim, the T in Tancast.
I'm Andy, the A in Tancast.
I'm Noah, the N in Tancast.
Andy is the A, and don't let a bid go!
Really? Really, Tim? You could call Andy out on not letting a bit go?
Yeah.
You fucking drive jokes into the ground.
Well, that's because you suck. Full disclosure on that, I said this in the comments, and if you're one of the people who leave comments, you may have seen it. But if not, I'm pretty sure I heard Jon Stewart do that on The Daily Show before, so I can't take credit for it.
Fair enough.
That's it. Oh, also, full disclosure at the beginning of the next episode, I have officially won that Photoshop contest.
Oh, sailboat.
Huzzah.
I know, because I am now 500 pennies richer, bitches. Oh, what's up?
You got $5?
You sure can do math well.
550,000, whatever.
5,000?
Pennies. Shut up.
Wait, how much did you get?
$50. I got $50.
Oh, okay. That's a little better than $5.
Much, yes.
Yeah. 10 times better.
I was like, really? You just got $5 for that? Fucking Tim's like, times are hard. I need that $5. I'm going to raise a ruckus.
Tim's going to walk into Subway, slap it down on the counter, and go, I'm a winner.
Meatball, bitch. It's February.
You know what? Put extra meat on there. Life's been good to me.
I photoshopped an Entertainment Weekly cover. You know who I am.
You may have seen my work. About town.
Shall we get into the tan laughs?
Certainly.
The Angelo Bowers Memorial Tan Laugh Segment.
Guys, thank you so much.
It's time to laugh. It's time for tan laughs. You send in the jokes and we will read them on your behalf. Send them along to your mom at tancast.com.
The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough,
bitch.
All right. Well, I've got some from Dean. Always nice to get tan laughs from professional comedians.
Dean, the mean machine.
And does an excellent impression of George Takei.
Yes.
It's funny because the top of this email says, these were flagged by company server for offensive content. Enjoy.
Nice.
I'm not really sure what company he works for and why they're flagging jokes, but I like it. So here they come. On the day when the missus came to the lounge and says, fancy a shag, babe? I said, after the football, love. She said, you do realize that you can record it. I said, nice, you get the camcorder. I'll come upstairs when the footy finishes. My girlfriend just asked me how many women I've shagged. I said, I really don't want to answer that, love. You know I've had a pass, and I don't want to upset you. Come on, she said. I can handle it. So I had to sit there and count them all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you, 10, 11, 12. Oh, there's a lot more. I'm not going to read them all. So let me get one more. My missus asked me to stop, help her stop sucking her thumb, so I drew a cock on it.
Oh.
There's more gems in there. I don't need to plunder all his booty all at once.
Oh, you want to plunder that booty, you gay guy, you.
Woo! Slow down.
I'm not using that other word anymore. So you're a gay guy.
I'm a gay guy. Skibbidi-bidi-bop, bidi-bidi-bop-bop, bidi-bidi-bop-bidi-bop-bop.
Okay, nope. What's the name of that song and the artist? You know?
That's The Scat Man by Rover Rollover and his All Dog Band.
That actually came up in a trivia question a trivia night that I went to. And we got it wrong.
It's from their album, You Can Lock Me in the Pound and Throw Away the Key, but You Can't Keep My Face from Breaking Out.
I think it's called The Scat. I'm the Scat Man. And I think his name is just Scat Man.
I like Tim's answer better.
Oh, Scatman John.
Scatman John.
He...
To keep him separate from all the other guys.
He did
guys
not stick around for a while.
Scat.
Wait, really?
Wait, what do you... Sorry, what did Andy say?
I said to keep him separate from all of the other guys doing scat.
Oh, and you were reeling to my statement, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah. He didn't stick around. He wasn't able to really make that work.
Yeah. Tim and I were essentially making the same point in different ways.
What? You didn't think the time was ripe for to bring scat back, Tim?
Maybe it was just when I learned about it, but it also seemed to coincide with the popularity of scat play.
Ah, yeah.
Everyone really, was there like if you look at a graph of scat play, like when that song came out, like there was an uptick in scat play?
Yep.
Like I said, it just may have been when I learned about the practice. But
okay. I mean, I just can't imagine like what social thing was going on in the world where people are like, you know what, scat play, I need to give it a try.
No, but don't
the
you
internet,
remember?
They people talked learned about things.
They talked about it on Sex in the City, and people were just like running down the street smearing poo all over themselves.
I must
Sex
have missed
me,
the
baby.
Episode.
Dude rolls up,
Jessica
rolls
Parker
down the window.
Drops those big horse manure shits, so yeah. You gotta be careful.
Just lean out your car. Hey, baby, what's up? I got me some fresh shitty juice.
Jesus.
Oh, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you.
Speaking of funny, who else has got a tan laugh?
I got some tan laughs.
Well, then get the fuck going, bitches!
All right. Although I am only one bitch.
Oh, well, it's difficult to tell.
Yeah. From a distance.
You fat!
From a distance, my ass looks like two dudes.
God is watching us.
Not me. God gave up on me.
He can't help but watch you. He can't see around you. Another fat joke!
So, these 10 laughs come from Reg, our number one provides us Noah Cock Jokes listener.
It's a good title.
And they are more Noah Cock Jokes.
Hooray!
Shocking.
Noah's cock is so big that in prison its name was the Brown Mile.
I like that one.
Noah's cock is so big that women that start naked at the tip and then slide down... Women start naked at the tip and slide down and wind up wearing the Batman costume.
That's a good one.
Nice.
Noah's cock is so big that it has to come up for air periodically when it swims.
That's a whale joke.
Noah's cock is so big that not only did the city of San Francisco allow him to live there, but they also have a blog about where it will be next.
It's a Twitter account, but, you know.
Noah's cock is so big that on the 2 days of the equinox, it will be in perfect alignment with the sun, creating a shadow that looks like a giant snake. Noah's cock is so big that it cannot fail.
It's got to be propped up.
And he ends it with, okie dokie then.
I forgot. I told the guys this last week off my, when we were done recording, but I have to share this with listeners that I thought of one. Noah's cock is so big, Superman, the Hulk, and Batman argue about whether or not they could stop him from raping you.
I believe my response to that was, I must be the Hulk in that joke.
Yes, I even ordered them correctly this time.
All right. I'm going to do one from Tyler. He says, hi, it's Tyler with more tan laughs. So he says, so a snail walks, or whatever they do, into a car dealership. And a car salesman walks up to him and says, hello, Mr. Snail. Would you like to buy a car today? Says the salesman. Yes, I would. I'd like to buy a little car with S on the side, says the snail. Why do you want a little car with the S on the side, Mr. Snail? Asks the salesman. Well, I want a car with an S on the side so that when I drive by, people will point at my car and say, hey, look at the little S car go.
I've heard of that.
And then he says, and here's my question. Along with being a Tancast younger listener, can I also be Tancast nerdiest listener? I'm willing to fight someone who also wants his title in a game of Team Fortress 2, name your time and your place, and the winner gets the title. Although he put two T's for a second, so I thought it was titty. The title here is my Steam name. Gets the title. Oh, sorry. It gets the title, comma, here is my Steam name. You know, I don't know if I was supposed to give that out. Maybe we can bleep it out. There you go. Have a nice week.
Tyler, if you really want to challenge people, go ahead and drop your Steam name into the comments.
There you go.
And then, let me unstar that. Did you guys have anything particularly you wanted to talk about? Jess had emailed us, and I wasn't sure if you guys wanted to discuss that.
I wanted to talk about Jess's email. I also wanted to talk about what Grace has been, she's commented on it a couple times, and we keep forgetting to mention it.
Yes.
I ran this by Noah. I don't know if I even talked to Andy about this. So he may stop us midway through and go, that's a shitty idea, asshole. But
let me stop
Grace,
you there.
Fuck you. Grace sent in a short story, basically, right?
Yeah. Well, it was a script.
Yeah.
You were okay. Yeah. And so I thought it would be fun for us. And I guess she can get extra credit for her some class if we performed it. And I said, but there's two extra parts in the script. Well, there's a narrator which would help it flow, and then there's.
I can do voices.
We could, but that ruins the part of the thing that I was about to do.
Okay, go ahead.
And then there's a fat podcaster who is not Andy.
Who is, in fact, fatter than Andy.
He's too fat to, what's the word I'm looking for? Fly. So, I was thinking we could have a contest and people could enter in to be the people, you know, we could pick someone to read the narrator and someone to read the other part, and then they could just record their part. I would edit it all together, and that would, and then we could, you know, post it.
Be like a super short special episode.
Exactly. A little bonus.
Bone.
A bonus.
So if you are interested, email us at fucktards@tancast.com and say, hey, I would like to read it. It's not a very long script. It's not like it's going to take you forever to read the parts. And
I guess we should find out if there's a limit, like a time limit, like is Grace going against a deadline?
Oh, right. Well, Grace, let us know. Because then we will do voices.
Because, yeah, it'd be something we did it. Like, hey, Grace, a couple weeks later, finally got around to it. She's like, oh, no.
I've already been kicked out of school, I told. My life is ruined because of Tech and Tancast.
Now I got sucked dick for crack under the bridge.
Oh.
What?
What a speedy fall from... I can't make that fun.
Oh, you dumbass.
Oh, nice, sir.
Because it would be a speedy fall for Grace, not from
yes.
Grace. all right, so send them in quickly, because we may have to turn this around in a couple days.
All right, so email us and make sure that the title of your or the subject line of your email is Save Grace.
Nice.
How about Saving Grace?
All right.
Let's do that
one. Saving Grace. The Saving Grace contest.
Yeah, you don't want her to suck different crack underneath the bridge.
Nope. Or on top of the bridge.
It's dirty down there. Might
even anywhere bridge adjacent.
If she gets on her knees, adjacent. She might cut them up. That's not good.
Oh, yeah.
Save Grace.
Hashtag Save Grace.
Tweet about it. Let's see if we can get actual George Takei to try to get one of these roles.
Hello.
I'm pulling for him for... You know what? I'm pulling for him for the podcaster, not for the narrator.
That would be funny.
Hello. I am a fat director.
I'm going to put this out there.
It was not George Lucas.
I don't think he's going to do it.
Nope, probably not.
Just throwing it out there.
All right. Way to be a fucking naysayer.
I don't want to kill your dreams, but...
Dream-killing bitch.
Hey, Noah, try to contact him via Twitter. You're big on the internet.
No, I'm not.
You're huge. Blowing up.
I'm pretty sure Tim has way more followers than I do.
I have 580.
Yeah, I don't even know if I have over 100.
You suck.
Wait, oh, maybe I have a little bit over 100.
I think I have over 100.
Do you really?
Yeah, let's all compare the size of our Twitter dicks here. Hang on.
Our Twix.
I have 160 followers.
Woot. I wonder if it... Oh, you know what? It'd probably tell me here. Let me look real
And
quick.
Considering that I kick-ban the bots that I see following me, well, any of the ones I notice,
oh.
I think that's 160 real-ish people.
Wow, I don't do that, so I probably have some bots following me.
I don't either, so I probably have tons of bots following me.
I do, however, will block their tweets if they tweet at me. I'm like, no, I don't need your tweet.
Yeah,
I have 118 followers. Huzzah!
You have over 100. You are doing it.
But I would say a good portion of them are people who, A, are probably bots, or people who are trying to sell me stuff.
Yes. There was a lot of fucking chiropractors following me for a while. I was like, What? Why are you... when did Twitter become a chiropractor haven?
I don't know. Like, sometimes I will get some random business following me. It must be on something old I tweeted, because I'm like, I did not tweet anything recently that would relate even remotely to what, you know, this, you know, Twitter account is about. Yeah. And I mean, does it work? I mean, like, I never look at some of them all. Yet. Let me follow them, because they do wine tours. Although I would say, I mean, you know, that's a little bit different. Like, sometimes the dentist will follow me. I'm like, really? I'm not going to find my dentist on, like, Twitter.
He knows tweets. He probably knows bicuspids. So
I'm looking for a new dentist. Let's hit my Twitter account.
Oh, and before we get completely off the guy who wanted to be our nerdiest fan, I thought, here's something awesome and nerdy. I just sent a link, and I put one in the show notes.
Oh, sailboat.
But apparently, there is going to be a Doctor Who, Star Trek The Next Generation comic crossover.
That is nerdy.
That is fucking nerdy.
Did you guys hear about the Star Wars movie where they recreated one of the movies? I can't remember which one right now. But
I have an idea, Noah. Let's change the subject.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of it, and I wanted to mention it real quick before I forgot.
Well, yeah, before we finished even really began talking about what I just brought
we'll
up.
Noah, get back to it, sir. Relax.
Noah, I have got some awesome technology that I'm going to purchase and send to you. It's called a pen and paper, and you can jot notes down using the one on the other. Then it's right in front of you, like a handy little reminder.
You fucking totally
could have been done with my little
story.
Bit by now.
What's that?
I said we could have been done with my little bit by now. All I was going to say is they recreated one of the movies in 15-second clips that people created. That's all. Done.
Oh, sailboat.
Let's go back to your Star Trek and Doctor Who.
Have you seen it?
No, because it's feature length.
It's fucking shitty.
Oh, you've seen it?
Like, yeah, well, as much of it as I can handle, I'm like, yeah, what if Star Wars was made by shitty?
It was a novel idea.
Novelly shitty.
All right.
I'm like, this sucks.
Don't watch it, then.
I've stopped. I was like, really? What is this? Because they talked about it in Hollywood Babylon, and it sucked. Hopefully, something that will not suck is the Doctor Who Star Trek crossover.
Wait, Tim. It,
oh,
is it
damn.
Better or worse than The Phantom Menace?
Tough call.
Yeah, because it's A New Hope.
It would have been better had they done that with The Phantom Menace, because then you're not ruining anything.
It'd be like making a sculpture out of poo.
Have you seen the commercials for The Phantom Menace where at the beginning of it, it's like a picture of, it's like they show a clip of A New Hope. They show a clip of Empire Strikes Back. They show a clip of like every other movie but the shitty one we're about to show you.
Yeah, I actually yelled at my TV. I was like, nice try, George Lucas. That's not the movie we'd be seeing.
You cannot trick me.
Enough of your fucking lies. Anyway, so Star Trek.
Star Trek, Doctor Who. And apparently they even draw Amy Pond hot.
How else are they going to draw her?
Well, like, she's in a super short skirt, and I approve this message.
Have you never seen a comic book before?
Oh, that's
true. They draw all the girls hot.
Yep.
Even the fat girls are hot.
Yep.
Wait, that sounded bad.
Ooh, Tim, what are you saying?
I guess what I'm trying to say is slutty. Like, they all dress slutty.
Yep.
I equate slutty and hot. What do you want
to
do?
I think just Tim just revealed his bias.
I don't think that Jean Grey has ever seen her feet.
Beyond her boobs?
Yeah. For her, the earth ends at boobs. She's got an enormous boob horizon.
I will have you know I don't have a fat bias, sir.
I'm still laughing about that.
I know you
stand
are.
On her head to find her socks.
You would draw the fat girls.
It's so horrible, Tim.
I think that should be
anyway.
I think that should be the title of our episode.
I don't think it is.
It'll be the title of my mind.
You can hear as it came out of your mouth, you're like, I'm regretting this. It's just a shift in tone. Like, even the fact, oh no.
They even draw the ugly girls hot.
There are no ugly girls in comics.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
I know, that was a joke. Anywho, I had not heard about this. I will not be reading it. Will one of you be reading it?
I might. It might be an interesting. It might be a good entrance point for Doctor Who for me. Because usually when they do a crossover, they have to explain one to the other.
Yeah.
Because they've never met each other.
Tim will be very happy because this will be like, you know, lubing it up and sliding it in gently.
Exactly. A spoonful of Star Trek helps the Doctor Who go down.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the title of this episode.
Could be. Could be.
You know what? I should have fucking saved that towards the before we did our high five.
Probably.
Don't.
Oh. You screwed up, Tim.
It would have been topical then.
Yeah, well, people already know what it was from last week.
Yep.
The show was so short, I left all that in.
I actually meant to send Noah a text message last night reminding him, but I did remember to do it this morning.
Oh, it's been on my list, my to-do list.
That's good. Is it on your to-done list?
No, I didn't finish it. Of course I finished it.
Dickbag!
I had a whole week. I didn't really have any excuse not to do it. And then once I started doing it, it was much easier than I thought it was. Like, at first I was like, fuck, what? And then I was like, and then I'm like, oh, all right, yeah, okay. So I came up with a bunch. Anyways, should we read Justice, or do we want to talk more about Doctor Who and Star Trek?
Yes, we want to nail this down because it's not even necessarily going to happen. It's so far just a rumor.
Oh,
no, I'm just
okay.
Kidding. Yeah, we can, we can move on.
Okay.
I feel I've chastised you enough for interrupting me.
Should we read Jess's email?
Let's do it.
Yep.
Captain, incoming message.
You've got mail.
Message for you, son.
DeVille is here.
Tancast listener email.
So I don't know, did we mention on Tancast that he's having a baby before?
Yeah, we specifically called it out because he named his unit after us.
Jess did?
Was that Jess?
Wasn't that Jess?
No, I don't think that was Jess.
No, that was...
I'm an idiot.
I should just stop talking, and then I can edit it together and make it sound like I said it right away.
Yep.
He's the one that just told us he had a baby, right? Like, a couple weeks ago? Is that what you're thinking of, Andy?
Robj. I almost said the last name. It's Rob.
Rob.
Good old Rob.
Hey, Rob. How you doing, buddy? Long time no see.
Man, the world's just full of...
You and Jess's kid can have a play date.
Full of babies.
Yeah, we did mention that they had their baby.
We did?
Yes. Jess is our number one original fan named Jess. That's it. That's the one. That's Jess.
Jess has been listening for a very long time.
Yep. Not Latino Jess.
No, Jess not Latino Jess.
Not
Latino Jess. Jesus! Latino Jess has made the full transversion into Jesus.
Yep.
I am Jesus.
Was that Big Lebowski?
Yeah.
Well done.
Played by John Turturro.
Random.
All right, do one of the papas want to read it?
Oh, sure. All right. Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm Jess. I'm having a baby. You know, I think I'll read it. No, go ahead, Tim.
Okay. So as I was trying in vain to correctly put my soon-to-be-born... Oh, he doesn't have a kid yet.
Oh.
No, not yet.
We are awesome at this.
I knew he didn't have a kid.
We suck. Big dick.
Oh, yeah. Details are not our strong suit on Tancast. Okay. So as I was trying in vain to put my soon-to-be-born kid's crib together, I was listening to Tancast, and I thought that it might be cool to hear your experiences with childbirth and also any tips and pointers for becoming a dad. Well, I can give you one right away. Have sex with a woman. That is the quickest way to become a dad, I found.
Yes.
Without protection.
Done.
Repeatedly, because, you know, you're rolling the dice every time.
And yeah, I think I mentioned this on Tancast before that I think it's funny whenever, like, you know, your parents want you to have a baby, they're basically just saying, like, just jizz up all up in her. Just tear that shit up. Just shoot your load deep in there. Cream pie the shit out of that.
Yeah, if you think about it, any time that your in-laws are telling you that they want grandkids, they're really telling you, hey, could you go fuck our daughter?
Without protection, and just blow your load all up in there. Just deep. Just make her stand Get upside that. Down.
Bah, they're basically saying, stop doing anal.
Look, we both know that she loves to swallow, but if you could just pull it out and kind of aim it south, at least.
But don't change lanes, though. That's no good.
Oh. Because then you get a shitty baby. I'm so stupid. Okay. I know that Andy talked to some about his experience early on in the show's history, but I figured since Tim is now also a dad, it would be cool to hear from you both. It would be cool to hear from both of you. Sorry, Noah. I've realized that I've been listening to you guys since almost the beginning of the show. I started listening after Tim was on Van's podcast, so yeah, that's like episode 11 or something.
Yeah.
And I haven't missed a show since. You guys have been one of my main forms of entertainment through all the craziness that has been my life the past few years, and I wanted to thank you for it. You are welcome. However, it might be a causal relationship that you are not thinking of right there. Like, there's been a lot of craziness in my life, and I've been listening to Tancast all that time. Wait a fucking minute. Fuck you, Tancast.
Anyway, these guys are warping my fragile little mind.
So keep up the good work, and know that as long as you guys can find the time and energy to do the Tancast, I will find time to listen. Jess. Tancast number one original fan named Jess.
I think it's pretty interesting, like, how much, you know, has gone up in our lives and in our listeners' lives since we've recorded. It's weird.
Very.
That's all. I'm just like, man, they've, like, you know, a little slice of our life.
Yeah.
I know,
yeah,
Tim,
like, has. I'm technically unemployed for the fifth time since we started Tancast.
You piece of shit.
I know.
You dirty piece of shit. But not for long.
I realize I've had almost as many jobs as Andy has. I just don't whine about them like Andy does.
Oh, so you're saying I'm not actually the blackest member of Tancast?
And I think you're like, you're just happy to have a job, Tim. You're just like, I'm just glad to be here. I'm gonna hold on to this as long as I can.
Because I started my five, not counting comedy, five jobs since I've started doing Tancast.
Seven, suck it. Well, technically six, seven employers, people signed up my paychecks.
I mean to ask you about your new job, Tim, but we can discuss that later.
Yes, maybe in a future episode. Back to Jess's letter.
Yes.
And back to the future!
the future!
So, childbirth. Nothing less insightful than three dudes talking about childbirth.
Yeah. Only two of whom have been present for it, both of whom saw a C-section. We're not really going to be big helps on this one, dude.
I do get the feeling it was not Danelle's favorite part of having a kid.
Yeah.
I have heard that women will shit themselves.
I have heard this also. My wife considers the C-section and not having to poop herself one of the high points of having a C-section. It's like, well, at least I never pooped myself.
Danelle and I have never discussed that particularly, but I imagine that is one of the pluses in her column.
I imagine
as
an adult, you generally don't want to shit yourself. Unless you're one of those people that was in the scat when the Scatman song came out.
Yeah. I mean, especially because you're probably going to do it when there's a nurse or midwife or doctor, like, front and center. So it's not just like, oh, I just pooed my pants, and you've got to, like, you know, go crab walk off somewhere really quickly while holding on to the back of your drawers. No, it's like, hey, guess what? It's theater!
It's a theater of shit.
That's why they recommend you do not have Taco Bell before you go into the hospital, because then it becomes.
But I love Taco Bell.
It becomes a Gallagher show for the doctor.
Careful, first three rows will get wet.
Doctor's got his little slip inside.
Oh, man, they give everyone a tarp to pull on themselves.
That's what I was referring to with the slip inside, but yes.
And a rain hat.
It's raining shit. Hallelujah.
Can you imagine hitting shit with a big mallet like that?
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Wait, no, do you mean shit like stuff, or you mean shit like poo?
He means poo.
Shit like poo.
No. I mean, yes, but no.
That would be awesome. If Gallagher really wanted to, like he's trying to be more edgy now, if he wanted, really wanted to be edgy, he should hit a pile of shit with a sledge-o-matic.
You know how he should retire? Is hollow out a watermelon and fill it with a bunch of liquid feces.
Oh.
Surprise, liquid. Motherfuckers!
I told you this was a shitty bit.
Oh my god.
Jess is like, I'm so glad I touched off this discussion.
We've gone to a dark place. A very dark
quit.
Place.
So childbirth.
Dark, a dark brown place. Oh, so, speaking of pooping yourself, childbirth. Yeah, apparently no matter how it happens, it's all going to be fairly unpleasant on the day. Just fluids and screaming and mucus and bleeding and... Oh, the bleeding. I was not prepared for the bleeding.
And don't they have, like, tubes of, like, stuff that they suck out of, like, your wife and... I hear that's a little jarring. Like, they have these two cylinders that they fill with, like, fluid that they suck out of the woman.
I don't know.
You lost me there.
Yeah.
I
do know that apparently when because the placenta and the uterus, they interlock like fucking Velcro. So when the placenta comes off, the uterus bleeds pretty freely. It's like, it was like the worst period ever for like over a week afterwards. My wife had to wear essentially diapers.
Ooh. That does not sound pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not like, you know, like a wound that never stops, but it's like a period that just never stops. Well, not for...
Well, it does actually stop.
Yeah, it does. Eventually. Shocking news. After your wife gives birth, she will probably still look pregnant for a couple of days as all of her, like, internal organs unswell.
Yes.
That'll be weird, because you'll be expecting that tummy to be, like boom, flat. Like, no, I think they left a baby in there.
I don't think you're not supposed to have sex for a while, right?
Well, with all the copious bleeding, I'm pretty sure you're not going to want to.
6 weeks.
What if you put it in her butt, though?
I think that's fine.
They weren't okay. Specific with that with me, but then again, I do live in the South.
Jess, write some questions down to ask.
I'm pretty sure anal, even between consulting heterosexual partners, is still illegal down here.
Consulting? Not consenting, but consulting.
Did like I say consulting?
Hey,
we're not,
can you sit down for a moment? I want to consult with you about something.
We're not strictly employees, but we are going to pop in from time to time to have butt sex here. Yes, Andy's losing track of English.
My son is taking a fucking power nap.
I kick my feet back and forth, 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 I kick my feet back and forth.
Ooh, good.
Been at it for an hour and 45 minutes.
The sense of awe in your voice made me think that the last bit of that was not going to be the word nap, rather shit.
Yes, I thought he was going shit too. But no, he went nap.
That's good. My son's become very irregular with his naps. Sometimes he'll nap for like fucking 3.5 hours. Other days he goes in, you have to yell at him like multiple times. Just lay down, close your eyes. You got huge bags under your eyes. You've been playing all morning. You need a nap. And he'll fucking power through it. And then he will be the most horrible little shit the whole evening because he's fucking exhausted and he just takes it out on everyone else around him. Like, see, this is why I kept telling you to nap. But did you nap? No. Why? Because you're a little fucking moron.
All right. So those are some pointers on becoming a dad.
Yep. Be sure to abuse your son.
So those are examples of what not to do.
Noah, you wait till you walk in my shoes, then you judge me.
Yeah, I'm going to judge you anyways.
Here's a warning that you may think, but neither Danelle nor I were prepared for this, that the kid really doesn't smile or have any other emotion other than I'm unhappy for the first, I don't know, 2-3 months, maybe longer, I don't know, I can't remember. So, like, happiness is just the absence of being sad.
Yeah.
Like, he's never really happy to see you, but...
Yeah, they don't really interact, they just sort of have, they're at peace, they're not.
Exactly.
I think Jeff calls him a tube, or someone's called him a tube, where he just, they eat and shit and sleep.
Yep. They do sometimes,
it's
like,
nice, because they fall asleep on you, and that's always always nice. I always like those, like, oh, he did sleep on me. He doesn't do that as much anymore, because, like, if you're holding him, he's like, let's do things. So, come on, what's up?
Yep.
Let's make it happen. One action.
Fling me around. I want to jump.
Where are the titties?
Give me that fresh titty juice.
Mm-hmm. I found, surprisingly, that I liked doing, like, dad stuff more than I thought I would. And I don't mean, obviously, interacting with the kid, obviously, that's dad stuff I assumed I would enjoy. But, like, you know, prepping bottles and prepping food and, you know, getting him ready for bed, you know, getting the, you know, his area ready, prepping diapers and changing things and whatever. Just, I like the busy work of it.
Yeah.
It gives you, like, purpose.
Yeah. It seems going into it like it's going to be, my life just picked up a bunch of additional chores. And chores suck. But, like, when you're actually doing it, it's more like, this is a little tiny human being I'm taking care of. I'm important now.
And also, it's like, there's so much with the baby, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Why the fuck is he doing that? Why did he make that noise? He threw up. Is that good? Is this it? What do we do? But then you're like, okay, I fucking washed this nipple. I put the fucking powder in here. And I add the water, and fucking I have milk. I did it. I'm a winner.
Yep.
I'm not fucking this up.
I fucking nailed this shit.
And then you learn little tricks like, wait, if I put hot water in something else and put the powder in here and then pour hot water directly in instead of microwaving it while it's inside here, it heats up a lot more evenly, and then I can just shake it and then I don't have to stir it and mix it and all the rest of this shit. You start to come up with, like, your own little shortcuts for things, and then you feel like a fucking genius.
Yep.
Like, yeah, this is a finely oiled process. I am the best dad ever.
And your wife will probably be able to talk about this more, or I don't know, maybe not, but, like, the going back to work after spending, like, because I just had a month where it was just me and Michael. Like, I didn't have a day job, so I could, you know, be there for him pretty much every day, and then, like, going back to work during the day kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck, I'm supposed to, like, every so often during the day, I'm like, I'm supposed to be doing something with Michael. Somebody else is doing it. And I'm probably not doing it the way I would do it. God damn it.
I know it's best.
Only the daddy can do it.
I remember Tim had posted a little tip for Jeff. And I don't know. I don't think we know what sex the baby is for Jeff. But for boys, I guess when you change the diaper so they don't pee on you.
I believe it was Andy's mom in the episode. This is not an Andy's mom joke. This is just an Andy's mom reference. In the episode where Andy's mom was on Tancast, she talked about, I think, I could be wrong, when you change your boy's diaper, like, you peel the diaper back, and then once the air hits his penis, he's like, hey, it's time to pee. So you close it really quick, and then you open it again, and he's already peed. And then you don't have to worry about getting it on you.
Yep.
This is not a 100% foolproof trick, but... Nope. It works more often than not.
Yeah. And the thing that we got really good at was, after you do that little, like, you know, flow of air trick, mm-hmm. Take a folded up wipe and just drop it directly on the penis so that at least if he does pee, the force is just wasted into the wipe and he's just basically leaking down his sides, his, you know, his crotch, whatever, onto the diaper,
hopefully.
I'll just
use a Dixie cup.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody actually gave us these things called pee-pee teepees, and they're little... cloth teepees, for want of a better word. I mean, that is what they're called. And then you just plop them on his penis. So you take off the diaper, put on the little pee-pee teepee.
And how does that work? I mean, how well? Physically, I can imagine how it works.
I mean, it works well. Like you said, it just drips down the sides.
Yeah.
I think I've only been tagged 3 times. Jeff has already been tagged numerous times, apparently. I'm like, dude, you're doing it wrong.
Wow. I think I got hit once, maybe twice. I think I got lucky with my kid.
And never in the face. That's what I hear a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jeff had this specifically, but I do hear a lot of, like, I got tagged in the face. I'm never. I've gotten the chest and the arm. Normally, like, you're like, whoa, and you Your matrix out of the way. You're like, oh, baby pee.
The world just slows down. There is one downside, though, to when the kid gets older. My kid right now is right in that, he's in that transition period where instead of taking a bath all the time, like, he often just takes a shower with me. And he's learned that it's okay to pee in the shower, but he also hasn't learned that it's socially unacceptable to pee on other people.
Golden showers in the shower.
Yeah, so, like, I'll just be standing there, and all of a sudden I'll hear, hey, hey, hey. And it's like, our shower head has gained a new jet, I think.
Why did you teach him it's okay to pee in the shower?
Because
that's a good question.
When the water hits him, he's got to pee. So do you want to take him out and set him back down on the toilet, or just let him pee in the shower?
I want to take him out, set him back down in the toilet.
All right.
Well, have him learn proper etiquette.
Now, he's going to get a girlfriend, just pee on her, and, you know, that's going to be awkward.
Unless she likes it, but, you know, what are the odds of that? Especially in Georgia.
Are you kidding? They're all pent up around here. Crazy shit, just nobody talks about it. Yeah, so after the first time that I took one in the foot, I got good at detecting when it's about to start and just grabbing him by the shoulders and spinning him around. I don't mean facing him away from me. I just mean spinning him until he's dizzy.
Like a little, sprinkler system?
Yep. Now, eventually he just falls down, cracks his head against the side, and he just sort of pees on himself for a little while. Then he wakes back up, and everything's fine.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
So what else, Tim?
Yep.
All right, well, I'm a little bit ahead of Tim on this curve, so... you may have difficulty when you just get started off, like, connecting with the kid. And not just in a, oh, he fell asleep on me, that's so cute kind of thing, but, like, before the kid shows any sort of personality, like when they are just that tube of stuff goes in the top and comes out the bottom, it can be kind of hard to, like, really form a
bond?
Deep emotional bond. Yeah, like with, you would with a person. And then slowly they start to, well, because they don't seem like a person. They don't have a personality. They don't have a good way of interacting or communicating except very, very basic needs in a very, very basic way, screaming their head off. But pretty quickly, especially since those first couple of months are going to be a fucking blur, pretty quickly they start to do things like you'll make a funny face and it will amuse the kid and they will smile. And you'll walk by, and they will watch you walk by, like, want to see what you're up to, and try to roll or turn or twist or, you know, get over and try to kind of worm their body around to be able to follow what you're up to. They'll start to show interest in you and more reaction to what you do, and before you know it, they'll be expressing to you that they have specific agendas and wants and desires, and, yeah, so they kind of go quickly from that thing that you have to take care of to, I know it sounds horrible to say it this way, but kind of like a pet. It's sort of like, you know, dealing with a dog or a cat where you got to be able to
you
read body
for
language.
You take a watch in the park.
Well, yeah, you do.
You put a bowl of food down for him.
Sorta.
Sometimes you put him on a leash.
Yeah. The litter box is just strapped right onto their ass, so that kind of saves time.
When they make a mess on the floor, you rub their nose in it.
Yep. Definitely.
Positive enforcement.
Yes. No, seriously, I mean things like they still can't communicate with you like a person does, but you start to be able to do things like, you know, read their intent of what they want. You start to learn, because they do actually have a personality, it's just that communication is still lacking. And also that personality isn't very deep. Again, kind of like a pet. But then that develops even more, and pretty soon they're talking to you and they're telling you what they want. And then pretty soon they won't shut up about what they want. And you got to start teaching them things like, you know, manners and please and thank you. And no, it's not okay just to demand, I want you to fill my water bottle and then toss a water bottle to somebody. That's a dick move.
And then they become a teenager and they hate you.
Yeah, and then they go back to doing things, apparently.
Now, Tim, you were teaching sign language to Michael, right?
Still are.
How's that going for you?
I'm fine. The problem is, like, I haven't retained, like, a ton of it, so he's, at best, he's got fragmented sentences. And, like, Danelle knows more than I do, because she got to go to more of the classes than I did. And, in fairness, I should have just picked up the slack on my own and studied in, when I wasn't in class. But, she's here.
Stop talking about her. Quick, compliment her tits.
She's in exercise mode. She's going to be able to kick my ass quickly. And efficiently.
I'm just wondering, do you feel like it's helped with, like, the communication issues that, you know, babies sometimes have?
I'm going to say not yet.
Okay.
Although, it's still early. Although, I guess he could be talking and using language by now, but using, like, sign language by now, but the closest is I've noticed that when I've just actually made this observation the other day, that he sort of, when he is unhappy, he uses an M sound, and when he's happy, he uses a B sound.
Huh.
So if he's like, meh, meh, that means he's about to start crying, or he's unhappy with his current situation, but when he's going like, ba, 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 that means he's having a gay old time.
Ba 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 ba.
And I said it kind of has its roots in Spanish, because mal is bad and bueno is good.
Now you know what your wife is teaching him when you're not looking.
And there you go. This has been the longest I kick my feet back and forth we've ever done.
I kick my feet back and forth. I kick my feet back and forth.
Shall we do our high five before we run out of time?
I think so.
Let's do it.
High five.
Who's... Oh, this is Andy's, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, while you introduce it, I'm going to run and get my notes from the other side of the room.
Excellent. So the basic premise was just cameos that we liked, appreciated. They can be basically from anywhere. It can be just somebody random showing up in a TV show, or a movie, or literature, or a video game. Like, literally, sky's the limit as long as it is something that can be considered a cameo.
By the way, guys,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm in bed.
Mm.
Laying down, covers on me.
Mm. Are you touching your wang?
Oh, no.
No.
I'm touching your mama's wang.
Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
She got a big hairy wang.
All right.
That's all. All right, let's do this.
So, should I start? We'll go... Me, Noah, you, Tim?
Sure.
Alrighty. My first one is, and this is, it's stupid. I almost feel bad for putting it on here, except that I laughed my ass off when it happened. Matt Damon mm-hmm. in Euro Trip.
I knew you were going to pick that one. Sorry.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Noah actually cut off whatever Andy said. Matt Damon.
Matt Damon in Euro Trip.
Yeah.
Ah.
Scotty doesn't know. Just him all punked up and tatted out. Just such a dick.
I don't know that I've ever seen that one.
He sings a song about fucking a dude's girlfriend.
While the dude is there.
Yep. And it's at her birthday party, isn't it? Or is it a graduation
it might
party?
Be, and he didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And the song is called Scotty Doesn't Know.
Yep. And it was just so fucking random because it's Matt Damon up there singing the song. It was good times.
Was this before or after the whole Sarah Silverman, Jimmy Kimmel thing?
Oh, before.
Before.
Oh, okay. Because could that have been somewhat inspired by that? The Jimmy Kimmel thing? The I'm fucking Matt Damon? Seems a bit similar.
It could be.
Possible.
I mean, variation on a theme.
Yeah.
I had not heard anything.
I'm fucking Ben Affleck. He's fucking Ben Affleck. Good times.
Noah, you're up.
So mine is, I'm going to put Wayne Brady on the Chappelle Show.
Yes.
I mean, just because, like before that, you know, and still, you know, Wayne Brady has this kind of squeaky clean, you know, kind of not really edgy image. I mean, you know, he does kind of dirty stuff, but, you know, it's pretty tame. But, yeah, just his role as, is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch? It's fucking classic.
And still so quotable.
Indeed.
I still occasionally, at random and inappropriate times, will just ask if Wayne Brady is going to have to choke a bitch.
It was good to see him bust out of his little... His little shell of, you know, of what he normally does to play that role. And
have you seen that making of clip or it was like behind the scenes where they're showing him like, do I have to say choke a bitch? Like, could I say something else?
I think I did see that.
And like it has like a text on the bottom like, he almost didn't want to say the iconic line.
Oh, that would have been horrible.
I know. That's what made that line.
Damn, Dave, I didn't know you liked to get wet.
I, you know, I considered using that, but it was since it was the whole episode. I mean, I guess technically it's a cameo, but yeah,
I would definitely consider that a cameo.
I like it.
Well
glad
done,
someone
Noah.
Brought it up. So my first cameo is, it's actually two people, but they cameo together. It's Frank and Ollie, two of Walt's original nine old men, and the end of The Incredibles.
Yeah, on the park bench.
Yep. When they're like, that's the way to do it.
Old school.
And then one of them died not long after that, so that's his last appearance at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was a cool nod to the origins of Disney animation. Or not the origins, necessarily, but certainly the heyday of classic Disney animation in a, you know, futuristic, not future, you know what I mean, highly technological Pixar film.
Yes.
And it was his cool little throwback. And not a lot of people knew who they were, and I'm sure, well, probably not, but I imagine had it been any other company, they'd have been like, you need to cut that out. That doesn't make any sense.
Yep. And it was kind of a non sequitur.
Totally.
Yep.
You don't see those guys before or after. You don't know what they were just doing.
Nope.
But I'm sure because it was John Lasseter, that they let it slide.
Here, I got two reasons you got to put these guys in. One, my left ball. Two, wait. This one's going to come out of left field. The right ball.
Wouldn't that come out of right field?
Nope, left field. That's the trick.
Oh, tricky.
Keep them guessing.
All right.
Andy. Back to you.
So my second one is Patrick Stewart as King Richard in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
That's
because
a good one.
It is awesome, and it's Patrick Stewart, but also because it is mocking Sean Connery's cameo in Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, which was itself a reference to the fact that Sean Connery had played Robin Hood in Robin and Marian like 15, 20 years before.
Woof. Everybody get all that?
Yeah.
That had fucking levels. That was like the inception of...
This is a cameo.
That was on a deep level right there.
Mocking a cameo that referenced a prior movie.
Woo!
Yeah. So when I saw that, I laughed my ass off. I'm like, he's doing Sean Connery's role. My dad goes, do you know why Sean Connery's role was important? Or why, you know, why that was meaningful? Why it wasn't just like, oh, hey, look, it's James Bond. I was like, no, I had no fucking idea.
No fucking idea?
Yep, my dad slapped me because he didn't like me to say fucking. No, none of that happened. All right, Noah.
Back to me. I'm going to pick Bob Barker on Happy Gilmore.
That was
nice.
A good one.
Oh, you know what? No, fuck that. I'm not picking Bob Barker on Happy Gilmore. That'll be an honorable mention. I just realized there's some other ones I like better. Alec Baldwin, Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah.
Okay.
again, fucking quotable as hell.
Just, I mean, and that was definitely a cameo. And just fucking his whole role. I mean, the movie is good, but that role is just perfect. Just comes in, just lays it out for him. Like, you know, you guys fucking suck. You guys need to step your game up. You know, mm-hmm. You know, I'm awesome.
Yeah. First place is, second place is, third place is, you're fired.
Fucking fired. Pulls off the brass balls.
No one just burned one of my lists to later throw it in his honorable mentions.
No. You can edit that right on out, Tim, and then you can just take it.
Yes.
Oh no, I'm not fucking taking it. Okay. Noah burned it, and he has to live with the consequences.
All right.
Fucking shit, dick.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin's just there in that one scene, and he's so fucking greasy and like hateable. But at the same time, you realize he's talking to a bunch of quote unquote salespeople who suck.
I admired him. He just came in and just like, mm-hmm. No, like, this is how it is, you know?
Yep.
What are you going to do? Yeah, so.
I was hired specifically to come in and tell you guys that you suck. You just hear him walking down the hallway, suck.
Facts. And if you guys haven't seen that movie, you owe it to yourself to see it.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't, so I guess I should.
The premise seems like, oh, it's a bunch of salespeople talking about fucking shitty land
sales.
Deals.
But, yeah. But it's a little more than that. And also, I mean, it has, like, Alec Baldwin, Kevin Spacey, mm-hmm. You know, Alec Baldwin cameo, Kevin Spacey, Jack Lemmon, Al Pacino, who else?
Man, and Lemmon gives a...
Come on now!
Ooh! Hell of a performance.
With the Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, it has that other guy.
Margaritas.
That was in Little Miss Sunshine.
Alan Arkin.
Yes, Alan Arkin.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Tancast movie recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mean Dogs, where'd you go? Where did you go?
Yeah, they went away again.
I know this is off topic. I miss Seen Unseen. That's all.
It's not all. All
right. You know, we kind of just did a Seen Unseen with childbirth. And we learned
that. I thought you were going to say with Glenn Gary and Ross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
here's
Tim.
Something I have seen. My next favorite cameo, Jonathan Frakes in Futurama. It was the episode where they had the entire original series cast that was alive and willing to do it, a.k.a. not DeForest Kelly and Scotty.
Yeah.
And at one point, they have this museum where all the talking, you know, all the heads, I don't know if it's a museum or what it is, but
yeah,
all
the
heads
head museum.
Okay. Yeah, where all these celebrity heads are. And so the guy goes to talk to Leonard Nimoy, and he's talking, Fry from the show is talking to Leonard Nimoy. And finally he takes him with him and leaves. And all of a sudden, Jonathan Frakes' head scoots up and he goes, "Yes, front row." And that's his entire part in the show.
Yes. Fucking genius. Like they're on dispensers.
This is so funny. Like, been waiting for this, front row.
Funny.
You know, they also did a couple other great cameos, like Claudia Schiffer does a cameo.
A Futurama in general? Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, the head museum is full of, like, Fry's talking to her asking, "Didn't you used to have a body?" She's like, "Yeah, well, it was really holding me back. I just did the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swim Cap edition." He goes, "Well, how does
well,
it go?"
Well, also, the cast of Next Gen has done a lot of pretty funny cameos.
Yes.
Notably on Family Guy. Like, during the latest, the Star Wars one, the Return of the Jedi. Oh, wait, am I burning somebody's list?
No.
No.
Okay. In the Return of the Jedi spoof, it's a trap. They're doing the final Death Star battle at the end, and then the Lando character goes, "Hey, Lando to Enterprise, attack the this!" And then it's actually Patrick Stewart and Michael Dorn go, "Actually, we're having tea. Thank you very much." And then Worf goes, "Yes, tea." Shit cracks me up. Anyway, so that was my favorite, though, of the Next Generation cameos, where he just comes in to say one line.
Yes, front row.
All right, next.
I'm trying to decide which one I want to do next.
Well, right, fucking open up your flappy mouth and say something.
I'm going to throw to television Suzanne Plachet in the series finale of Newhart.
I thought about doing that one, actually.
Yeah, that is a hell of a twist, because that cameo undoes the entire show of Newhart and turns it into a dream set within the universe of the Bob Newhart show. For our listeners, like anyone under 40, Suzanne Plachet played Bob Newhart's wife in the Bob Newhart show. And the very end of the show Newhart, where he had been playing this bed and breakfast owner through the entire series run, the last scene is it cuts to him waking up, and he is like, "Huh!" And she turns on a light, and it was kind of a bit in the Bob Newhart show where they would often like have this banter back and forth while they're in bed, and like one of them would turn off a light and the other one would turn the light back on because the first one had said something that the second one didn't like, so it was like this like husband wife arguing or whatever, and he like wakes up startled, and she turns on the light. Suzanne Plachet does. And he tells her something about he had a horrible, weird dream. He was a bed and breakfast owner. And there were three idiot lumberjacks. Two of them were mute. And like he kind of like lists off all the characters that were in the Newhart show up until then. And then tells her something about how he wishes she would wear more tight sweaters or something like that. Because his wife in Newhart was rather chesty and always wore tight sweaters. But it was fucking genius.
Okay. Have you heard that theory about how all television is takes place in
yeah.
Saint Elsewhere basically ruined all of television?
Yeah, Tommy or Timmy or something like that, kid with autism, I think, in Saint Elsewhere.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, I'll put a link in the show notes because I found this fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, sailboat.
And I'm sorry, I'm Noah-ing this topic. But At the end of the Saint Elsewhere finale, it turns out the entire show has been taking place in this little autistic boy's mind, who's looking at a snow globe of a hospital that says Saint Elsewhere. unfortunately, there are characters from St. Elsewhere who have crossed over to other, you know, like a guest from this show was on St. Elsewhere, and then they were on that show, and the guests from that show have been on this show, and the guests from that show have been on these. So if it fans out, that means all of these shows took place in this autistic boy's mind.
Yeah, and I can't remember if it's Tommy or Timmy, but it's loosely referred to as the Tommyverse or the Timmyverse or whatever.
And someone was saying, if we can figure out a way to connect Knight Rider to this, that means all of Star Trek also takes place in that kid's mind, because there's an episode of Knight Rider where one of the scientists referred to in an original series episode of Star Trek as doing something in the past, that scientist is referred to in an episode of Knight Rider.
Wow. This show just got nerdy.
That is amazing.
Just?
Yep. It wasn't nerdy before.
Oh, was it? Okay, my bad. Anyway, yeah, so I'll find the link and I'll set, but it's fucking fascinating. And another one of the big ones is Richard Belzer's character, who he now plays on Law & Order SVU, but he's been on The X-Files as that character, he's been on Homicide, Life on the Street, he's been, and I don't know, he showed up in a lot of things as that character.
I don't know if this is accurate, but I just found like a diagram.
Oh, sailboat.
It's supposed to like list all the different crossovers that St. Elsewhere is connected to, I guess? I'll have to read this more in depth.
That is a hell of a diagram.
I Googled it, saw something vague, and linked it.
Well, basically.
Woo, that is quite a diagram.
Holy shit, it ties into Lost, Alias, Veronica Mars.
The Monkees?
Mission Impossible. Wow. Yeah, if this is accurate, this... I knew it was fucking huge, but this, like, blows your mind.
This fictional thing blows your mind.
Yep.
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place is somehow connected as well.
All right, well, I'll do some more reading later.
Let's go to Noah's next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By the way, good fucking luck being the nerdiest TanCast fan. Because realize that you're going up against everyone who can stand to listen to shit like this every week.
By the way, Trapper Don MD was not a spinoff from MASH the TV show. It was a spinoff from MASH the movie. Okay, moving on.
Really?
Yep.
Fair enough.
Because otherwise they would have had to pay royalties to the people who came up with the MASH TV show, I guess.
Theoretically, it was officially a spinoff of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Noah's trying to keep this going.
Sorry.
And we are holding him back.
We're Noahing this up.
My third one is Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Again, he was playing a role that is definitely goes against character from him. And it was fucking hilarious. And I just loved his little dancing.
Play on, play ya.
Dancing!
That Tim sometimes
dancing,
will do.
Dancing! No.
I love when he's talking about fisting people.
You mean every time you have a fart, it's going to have to tiptoe past my wedding ring?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately for me, well, I haven't watched that many times, but I mean, it's not as quotable for me, but just the whole role was just, it just cracked me up.
Yeah.
But that is a good line, Tim.
Bald tip-toe Tom Cruise in a fat suit. Come on.
I do like that Tom Cruise dance.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide which one my next one should be. I'm going to go with Oscar the Grouch in The Great Muppet Caper.
That was a good one.
For those of you who don't remember, Miss Piggy needs to get a ride somewhere to catch up with Kermit and the gang because they're about to be set up for something or other. And so she flags down this truck, and the truck driver says that he does not take any passengers or whatever. The truck driver is actually a famous actor. I just don't know him. And so Miss Piggy pulls the guy out of the cab and flings him across the street. And he flies into like a pile of garbage. And all of a sudden, Oscar the Grouch head pops out of one of the cans. And the guy goes, "What are you doing here?" And Oscar the Grouch goes, "A very brief cameo." And the truck driver goes, Me too. And that's it. I just like that Oscar the Grouch's only purpose is to call out the fact that he's having a cameo.
Yep.
What are you doing here? A very brief cameo. Good times.
Nice.
Andy.
All right. Make it happen. Fourth on my list is going to be Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Nice. I almost went with that as well.
I believe that was the first time that a Disney and a Warner Brothers character appeared on screen at the same time. I could be wrong about that.
I'm pretty sure you're right. It was certainly the first time those two, the two most iconic from the two franchises, mm-hmm. shared a scene. I remember as a kid, like, just like, I was aware of how awesome that was. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand studios and politics, but I knew, like, those two are supposed to be together, and they're together. That's awesome.
Yep. And Tim, didn't you tell me one time that like they were so anal about it that they had to have the exact same number of words for Bugs and Mickey in that scene?
I believe so.
Oh, and it's not the first time that Warner and Disney appeared, because earlier in the same film, Donald Duck and Daffy Duck had that battling pianos.
The piano battle, yeah. Which, if you go to Mickey's Toontown and ride on the Roger Rabbit ride, mm-hmm. they go through that the club, the Ink and Paint. The line winds through and the Ink and Paint Club, which is where that happens. Mm-hmm. And there's a list of acts going on, and it just says Donald Duck performing that song all by himself.
No, wrong.
And I was like, and you can actually hear that song being played and Donald quacking about, but you don't hear Daffy. I was like, oh, you guys couldn't make that happen? Come on, man. Couldn't write Donald Duck and Friend and just let those of us who know get the joke?
Yeah.
Anyway, and the whole Steven Spielberg is the one that made that happen, basically, because he was executive producer on that movie. He was the one to convince Warner Brothers and Disney to come to the table. And not Tex Avery, although I think some Tex Avery ones were in there. Not Hanna-Barbera. Fuck. Who's Dippy Dog? Dippy Dog. Droopy Dog.
No, I think that's Hanna-Barbera.
Okay.
Tell us,
well,
Wikipedia.
Then, yes, he was the one that brought other people to the table. Oh, yeah, and Woody Woodpecker. That's Hanna-Barbera, isn't it?
Yes. Created by Tex Avery, Hanna-Barbera. For Droopy Dog. And yeah, I know that that Woody Woodpecker is. Well, I guess MGM.
There's another cameo in that film.
I guess MGM was the original distributor.
Well, there you go.
But it was Hanna-Barbera were the producers.
And the reason we'll never see a sequel to that is because Michael Eisner pissed off Steven Spielberg, and now we're all fucked.
What did Michael Eisner do?
They were supposed to share the rights to Roger Rabbit shorts after that. So then the first Roger Rabbit short was put in front of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and the next one was supposed to be put in front of Arachnophobia, which was the next Amblin Entertainment movie. But Eisner insisted on putting it in front of... Oh, wait. Maybe Arachnophobia was the Disney movie that it got put in front of. Fuck, I don't remember. But anyway, Eisner decided to put the Roger Rabbit short in front of a Disney movie instead of the Amblin Entertainment movie, and so that is one of the main reasons Spielberg and Disney had that falling out in the mid-90s. The more you know way too much inconsequential shit.
Yeah. Didn't he also piss off... Was it Katzenberg that left? That was the whole reason?
That quit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know all the details behind that, though.
Yeah.
And I've already taken enough time on this...
Yeah, there was a lot of bad blood that went off to SKG from Disney. All right, Noah, your fourth and a half, I guess?
Bill Murray, Zombieland.
That was a good one.
Did you just Google great cameos and read what was on there?
Maybe.
Because I did that, and I saw a bunch of these, and I was like, nah, I don't know if I'm going to count these.
I mean, I couldn't think of any on my own, and I was like, after I saw them, I'm like, yes, okay, I remember these were good.
It was a good cameo, though, because he was playing Bill Murray.
Whew, that's good stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've never seen Zombieland, so I can't speak to it.
Well, A, it was a good movie. B, it was a good cameo. There's actually a scene where they are reproducing a scene from... by the way, we should say spoilers, I guess. Probably at the beginning of this, maybe. Because I think they were trying to, keep on the wraps that Bill Murray was in Zombieland. Because originally it was supposed to be... Who was supposed to be Andy?
I don't know.
Swayze. And they got sick.
Got super sick.
Like, died.
Yeah. But they couldn't bring back zombie Patrick Swayze.
Aww.
He was asking for too many brains.
Brains.
that sentence would have been funnier if I got it out without hiccuping in the middle.
So what was the special thing about what scene were they trying to recreate?
Oh, Ghostbusters. They did.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
It was just funny. It just that. I mean, Bill Murray playing himself, and they're just hanging out and fucking around, and then something happens, and I will not spoil that.
All right. Excellent.
And who doesn't like Bill Murray? Like, he just does random shit. Like, I remember a story, like, I think he would go up and, like, eat food off people's plates and then, like, be like, no one ever believed this happened. And then just walks away. Just, like, fucks with people. I'm going to find that because I should get the correct story.
Nah, why start now?
No. Start a rumor.
I heard a rumor. I worry I might be taking one of Noah's if I say this next one.
Do it.
Do it.
Vengeance.
Oh, good point.
Justice.
Steve Buscemi and the Wedding Singer.
No.
Oh, I can't believe that. You fucking loved that fucking
scene. I forget shit. That was fucking hilarious.
Hey, Wedding Singer.
I would laugh every time.
You laughed at my shitty recreation of it just now.
That stumble that he did was just so believable. Yeah. They just walked
yeah,
away.
Yeah, it looks like he literally just lost his footing and all hell broke loose, and then he just breaks the glass and just walks away like, everything's cool, baby, everything's cool. For those of you who haven't seen it, A, you should. It's one of the few Adam Sandler movies that you're like, you know what, you can sit down and watch this and not have to turn off your brain. But also Steve Buscemi just plays a drunken wedding guest who gets up and makes a drunken speech at the beginning. And then there's a scene where he just talks to Adam Sandler and then like almost trips over a curb and stumbles away all drunkenly. And it always made Noah laugh. And me as well.
Best guitar player in the world, Ma!
No lessons, thank you very much. Pop! We had that movie at the theater. I think Noah would sneak in there fairly often to see the beginning. Oh. And be like, done. Movie over.
That was a classic scene.
Well, good. I'm glad I put that on my list. If I hadn't, I would have left it to you, and it would not have happened.
I have a different one. And this one, actually, my number one is one I actually thought of on my own.
Okay,
my
well, God. I'm going to go ahead and toss mine in before we get to yours.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to say it now. Relax.
Okay.
Say it, Noah. Say it. Fuck with him.
Neil Patrick Harris playing Neil Patrick Harris. In Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Well, and then again in both of the other Harold and Kumar movies, but fucking genius.
That's really what brought back Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Yeah, it was what got him the role as Barney on How I Met Your Mother.
And now everybody loves Neil Patrick Harris.
Fucking yeah, what's not to love?
I think I was telling someone, like, I'm so glad that he was able to make a comeback. Like, he just didn't, like, fade into oblivion and, like, have his life fall apart. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, I think he'd been doing, like, theater stuff after, what was that movie? Starship Troopers.
Yeah. That's what a lot of Hollywood actors do when they can't get real work anymore. Just kidding.
A lot of Hollywood actors who can sing like angels.
A lot of Hollywood actors whose name on the marquee will put butts in seats.
This is also true.
You have anything more to say about the Neil?
No, it's fucking awesome.
True dat. True dat.
He is good.
I think I could have stopped talking after I said Neil Patrick Harris. And everyone else would just be like, oh. Noah?
All right, my number one. This is like cameo. I think all the other ones... Not all the other ones, but some of those ones I knew about beforehand. This one I had no idea that was coming, and I was very surprised. Samuel Jackson in the end of Out of Sight. That was it. It was just totally random. I like Samuel Jackson, and there's a scene at the end where, I can't remember. George Clooney's character gets put in the back of, like, a paddy wagon or transport, and it's with this guy who keeps breaking out of prison. So basically, Jennifer Lopez's character is set up that way, so... George Clooney would be able to escape. That was it. It was just like at the very end of the movie, I'm like, hey, that's Samuel Jackson.
Spoiler.
Yeah, big spoiler.
That's literally the end of the movie.
Yes,
the end.
Samuel Jackson loves to make cameos at the end of movies.
Yeah.
That's why you always got to stay until after the credits.
It was between that one and, you know, the other one. I'm sure one of us will mention our honorable mentions.
Iron Man?
Yeah.
Damn. I was going to mention my honorable mentions, but since you threw Sam Jackson in, I was going to say it now.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the most amazing cameo ever, but it was a surprise for me, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I like to see Samuel Jackson just doing shit.
He's just doing shit.
Just doing shit. I'm Samuel Jackson. I do shit. What?
What you got to say? Motherfucking nothing. So my number one, it's odd, but I fucking loved it. Gregory Hines in The Muppets Take Manhattan. It was so fucking funny. Like, there's a purse snatcher in New York, steals Piggy's purse. She's trying to chase him, and instead she snags this, we don't see, this guy from behind, his roller skates. And then she skates after him, grabs the purse. She's not supposed to be in New York. Kermit sees her. Then the two of them have an argument about whether or not why she's left and why she's still there and what Kermit's been up to. And Gregory Hines catches up and is like, I just want my skates back. And like they're having an argument. He's like, I'll just unlace them while you fight. It's not a problem. And then, like, he keeps going down out of frame and popping back up when something interesting happens in the argument. It's so fun. Like, you gave Jenny – oh, Jenny is the character that Kermit's been hanging out with – the Huggies. And then Gregory Hines pops into frame. You give Jenny the Huggies? And then Piggy starts crying. And then Gregory Hines sort of hugs her. And then turns over to Kermit and goes, see what the Huggies will get you? And then they're fighting. And like, it builds up to, like, because they're pretty much ignoring Gregory Hines as they're going. And then, like, they're just shouting at each other. And then they start panting because they're all out of breath. He's like, you know what? Keep the skates. I just like to run around in small shorts anyway. And he just runs off. Gregory Hines, you will be missed.
Yeah.
Here's a link to the Bill Murray thing I was talking about.
Oh, sailboat.
Very good.
Excellent.
Honorable mentions.
Eddie, do it.
Oh, I've got a ton of them.
Do it now!
Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction is the guy with the wristwatch in his ass.
Yes. That fucking story is amazing.
And Walken delivers it so well.
And it's been 10 years, I don't know how long, this hunk of metal up my ass.
Uncomfortable hunk of metal.
Uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass.
Up my ass. Danny Glover as a bank robber in Maverick.
Ah, yes. All right, did you go to the same sites Noah did?
Nope.
Because I saw both of those on the same sites.
Yep. Well, they're
maybe
awesome.
They're just good because, yeah.
Michael Jackson.
I guarantee that Gregory Hines shit wasn't on a site.
I almost put this one in my top 10, or my top 5, my high 5. I actually thought Tim was going to get this one. Michael Jackson as Agent M in Men in Black 2.
That is on my honorable mentions. I was going to put it in my high 5.
Yeah, that was... I thought it was a Michael Jackson impersonator. I was like, there's no fucking way actual Michael Jackson would make this joke about himself.
It's like, when you think about it, like, wow, he, like, to really have that big a sense of humor about himself, and it just sort of got swept under the rug.
Yeah, and that's why I fucking loved it once I found out, oh my god, it's really him. Jay and Silent Bob in the most random fucking cameo in Scream 3.
Yes.
I remember watching Scream 3 with you guys, and like, what the fuck? What just happened?
And everybody screamed over it, so we didn't hear whatever Jay had to say. We were just like, yay, Jay and Silent Bob! Oh, they're gone.
He said something like, hey, Connie Chung! Something, something. I don't remember the rest of
something
it.
Something about his nuts, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As he will do.
As, yes.
Fucking Keith Richards, who was Johnny Depp's inspiration for Jack Sparrow, as Jack Sparrow's dad in Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
I was disappointed with that.
With the cameo or with the movie?
The cameo.
I enjoyed the cameo.
I mean, I know, he was just so muted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You
wanted him to be crazy like Sparrow?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to see more of the connection, like, hey, that's really, you know, what he's like. But
he was more like older badass is what they were trying to play him as.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's not what I was looking for, but, you know, it is what it is. Five-ass monkey.
Yeah, I've got other ones on this list, but I don't want to blow them all out.
Yeah, no, you want to read the whole website that you went to.
No.
So, yeah, I had Christopher Walken. I had Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore. The price is
wrong, bitch.
You may have heard that in our tail laugh theme today.
Rick James on Dave Chappelle's show as well.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, just him to tell the story, and then hearing Rick James confirm the story.
Yeah.
Okay, that was hilarious.
I always thought if the Chappelle show had continued, they should have done something. Because I'm sure they had some Michael Jackson story. I'm sure Eddie Murphy's brother had a Michael Jackson story. They totally should have had Michael Jackson on there. I think that would have really helped his image at the time.
Yeah.
And maybe he wouldn't be dead. Thanks, maybe. Chappelle. You killed Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Conrad Murray's taking the heat for some shit you did.
If you would just continue your show, Michael Jackson would be alive today.
Live with that.
It's been a long time. How long has it been since the Chappelle show ended?
We were still in the Tan House, right?
Yeah.
So, at least 7 years? Is that right?
Let's eat it.
Thanks, buddy.
Beat it?
Yeah, my brother bought me a... My little buddy brought me a almond.
Oh, eat it. Store.
Daddy, I got your nut.
Holy crap. Okay. Let me get my last honorable mention, and then let's stop making this episode.
Mm-hmm. I have one. More Wolverine and X-Men. Hugh Jackman and X-Men.
That's a cameo?
Yeah, at the end. Or maybe, it wasn't at the end. It was when they were recruiting people.
X-Men First Class.
Yes.
How about
the next one?
I was like, Noah, he's in the whole fucking movie. And sequels.
No.
And then he had a spinoff.
X-Men First Class.
Was it actually Hugh Jackman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Neat.
Actually, I think I preferred the Rebecca Romijn cameo.
Hello.
Yes.
I think Tim needs to get going, so let's let him knock these out.
Well, I just didn't realize how much episode I now have to edit.
I've been digging up your nuts.
Okay. So my last cameo is Gene Hackman in Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That's my honorable mention. That shit was fucking funny.
I know that's not him, but
I'm like, no, that's the monster.
And just the scenes of the monster's like pain as he's pouring like scalding hot soup into his lap.
But my favorite part is when they do the cheers, the toast with the two mugs. Yes. And Gene Hackman just smashes it, and the monster gives this look like, fucking shit.
Like, of course.
Well, that's it. You've waited for it for 3 weeks, and there it was. Supersized high five.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's worth it.
Noah's up next week for thinking of something.
Make a little to-do note for myself.
Try to get into us
iPhone
earlier
reminder.
Than Saturday.
Well, if it's high five earlier than Saturday.
Yeah, if it's 10 fight, you can surprise us.
Okay.
All right. So, everybody, don't forget to enter if you want to be the narrator or the fat podcaster in our Saving Grace contest.
Just, a random fat podcaster.
Hey, we don't got to say names. Spoiler alert.
I'm not saying any names.
I wasn't saying. You were saying. I'm saying we're not saying. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Fucktards.tancast.com. Subject, Saving Grace. You can tell us why. We're not going to read a ton of essays, so we're just going to pick somebody at random.
Don't be writing a bunch of bullshit. We ain't going to read it.
You can write it. I just mean, like, don't write, like, 4 pages of, like, and another thing.
And we retain all rights to completely decide that it's not going to be random. We're just going to pick somebody based on what they wrote, so...
Yeah. We also retain all rights to just shit hammer this contest when no one enters.
Yes.
All right. I think we're covered.
Grace, don't take it. Grace, we gotta save Grace. If we don't do this, she's gonna be sucking dick underneath the bridge for crack. Okay.
We can said shit hammer, and I love you. Brought it back to Gallagher.
Nice. And there it is. Put a bow on it. Put it to sleep. Tancast 188. You're doing it.
It was great.
It's been done. You rode the queef.
Remember, never trust an Asian. I mean, never. Like, you may think sometimes, oh, this Asian seems cool. You know, it's good to me. She's good to me. I can trust it. Don't fucking trust that person. They will fucking cut in front of you in line.
I wonder what the Asian listeners to our podcast think of this joke. Like, do they find it funny? Or they're like, yeah, Thanks for the racism, Dick Sneeze.
I'm sure they know I don't mean it.
You are racist, fucktald.
Now that was racist.
Yes, it was.
I'm not saying you shouldn't trust Asian for any particular characteristics except they're Asian. Just don't trust an Asian.
What?
I'm not saying anything about their slanty eyes or
that
bad
makes
driving.
It bad. That makes it better.
Let me summarize what you just said via analogy. I'm not racist, but fuck all them niggers.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. Hey,
that's not cool, man.
You're the only white one on here, buddy. You better watch it.
I'm the blackest member of TanCast.
Bullshit.
I can't hold a job.
Bullshit. By the way, 6 jobs. I forgot one.
Aha. Then we're tied.
And that's still not counting stand-up comedy, which would be 7.
It's not a job. That's a vocation.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you for tolerating, listening to this episode of the TanCast podcast. You can go to our official website, TanCast.com, where you can read our blogs and find links to the official TanCast Facebook page, the official TanCast Twitter page, and the official TanCast store. We'd love to get emails from you, so email us at fucktards@TanCast.com or yourmom@TanCast.com, or you can email the guys individually at Tim, Andy, or Noah at TanCast.com. As always, we'd like to thank DJ Technoid for creating the official TanCast theme, and we'd like to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review so other people can find us. That's all for this week, and as always, remember, don't be an idiot!
TanCast.
Testing, testing. There we go. All right, I'm here with Danelle and Michael. After we finished recording, Danelle thought of a great cameo that none of the three of us mentioned.
Lou Ferrigno in the Hulk.
In the Incredible Hulk or just the Hulk?
The Hulk.
The Hulk was the one, the angsty one, Edward Norton.
Then no, not that one, the other one.
Yes, I agree. That was a good cameo. And also all the Stan Lee cameos. That's what my wife reminded me of. And I was like, we have to hop on the mic. And she is super excited about it. And so is Michael. He's grabbing the mic right now from my hand. He's like, what is this? Michael, you have anything to say? No?
Just having breathing to contribute.
Oh, wait. Are you going to pause it? Don't pause.